can't believe that we could end up here. Each bit of light that fills up the sky illuminates the how and the why. Darker skies. Sure, there was a light, but we never learned to use it right. And I could not help close my eyes.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Ascension Secrets of St. Germain show. This is Troika St. Germain. I've been traveling, and this is the first show I've done in, what, 3 weeks, 4 weeks? I can't remember. I feel brand new again doing the show. So, and I really want to thank Ron Armitron for taking such good care of my show while I'm gone. And he's the one that precedes me, and he's a great friend. So, I really want people to call in. Tonight we're going to be talking about the energies that are going on and discernment and how to keep oneself clear and clean and out of the box. And I'd like people's input. I'm going to be a bit controversial tonight, and I might press a few buttons, so if you want to call and tell me that you think I'm crazy, fine. Or it's even nicer if you call and say you agree with me. But anyway, the call-in numbers are 877-876-5227 for everyone in the United States. And for our Canadian friends, their toll-free number is 888-815-9756. For people in Northern California, in the 530 area code, or international callers, you need to call into the direct line. It is not toll-free, and that's area code 530-876-3222. So, without further ado, this is something that I cannot remain silent on anymore and be and maintain integrity with my belief and my knowledge and my information. And I'm going to be going very strongly against the majority of everybody. And I'm sorry if I step on toes, but I have to say this. And I've been trying to figure out all day long how to say it, say this information in a way that is limiting in its offense, minor damage offense-wise, and also in a way that doesn't sound judgmental or negative, because it's not. So let me start maybe with a little preface about the one and duality. As you know, we are all one. We are all one energy. There's the polarity of the light and the dark, or the positive or the negative, the yin-yang, the balance. And that plays out very dramatically on our dimension, the third dimension, because this is the dimension of duality. So the two parts are very obvious on this planet, whereas in the higher realms, that duality is all commingled into the one in the positive way that we all wish our lives to be. And everything here still is the one, but it's played out more dramatically. And the so-called dark or the negative forces or the denser energies or however you want to call them is still a part of God and is still a part of us. But it's very real in the fact that some of these forces, entities, energies, thoughts, patterns, whatever form they're taking, don't see the oneness yet and are still very much playing on the duality deck and thinks of everything as a as separation and wants to win over the others and wants to dominate and wants to entrap. And this is what we're dealing with. Now, I know that everybody, and, you know, and there's nothing wrong. This is, it's not that they're really bad because they are part of the one. They just don't know it yet, and they haven't decided to join in into the oneness. So because of that, there is a, there's a need to be vigilant and to be have a very strong discernment with what we as light workers and people on a spiritual path involve ourselves with and accept and become part of. And the reason is, again, discernment, and it's not a judgment, it's just taking care of yourself and protecting yourself so that you may become the divine being that you are without a noose around your neck or dark energies coming at you and other situations that you have to then fight that much harder just to maintain yourself, let alone grow and expand. Now, this is something that's very hard to teach without sounding like I'm going into duality myself. So let me give you an example of Saint Germain and his life as we know it, his last physical incarnation that many of us are aware of. When he was in his physical body for over 300 years and known as the Wonder Man of Europe and was best known for his Versailles experiences because it was towards the end of that incarnation, but he also lived all through Europe and through the Orient and all. He was already an ascended master. That's why he could stay in the body for 300 years, and he was not, and why he could appear in two places at one time, and why he could, you know, travel at such great distances instantaneously without the Concorde or any of the quick transportation. He traveled by thought. He appeared and disappeared. He was able to, you know, manifest at will wherever and maintain a youthful-looking body. This is because he fabricated his body, as ascended masters do. It's also called precipitation. And he was not always living in that body as we do, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days out of the year. He just showed up when he needed to appear. And when he retreated to his quarters, he went to the other realms to restore himself and to be in that higher energy. So even as an ascended master, he, during that lifetime, he was constantly attacked, betrayed, had people bear false witness against him, was arrested and imprisoned on many occasions, was accused of being a spy, accused of treason, accused of being a charlatan, anything that his enemies could conjure up. So just because you're ascended and love everybody, and he's, you know, he was in that Christ consciousness state where he could see the truth and see the oneness of everyone and see the heart and the spirit and the spark of God in everyone. He also could see the momentary illusion, the third dimensional mask that these beings were playing out as enemies or taking the role of the adversary. Jesus had the same thing, as you know. He was certainly in the Christ consciousness state, but his life was anything less than rosy and magical and charmed, constantly being persecuted. Yet we know that he had unabiding love for everybody on the planet. So it's sort of like that, that as we get more and more light within us, and as we become more of who we truly are, and more of the divineness, those that are not playing the role of the good guy this time want to squelch us and want to cause us problems. And many times these energies or entities, because they're highly intelligent, will act as if they are totally and completely of the light. Many of them pose as spiritual teachers, and high, you know, let you think that they are high beings. And in essence and in truth, they are, but they're playing the duality side. So they can be very powerful and have tremendous energy and spiritual knowledge, but they're playing the other side of the coin this time around. It's like this big game, you know, when you were kids, you played cops and robbers or something like that. You were best friends, but in that game, you said, okay, you be the bad guy this time, and I'll be the good guy, and you played that out. That's what is happening on Earth right now. It's all of the best friends, all of the one, is playing different roles, and some of them are playing the bad guy, disguised as the good guy. And I really want to encourage people to really think outside of the box, not only the 3D box, but the New Age box. Because, well, what's precipitating me saying all this is the firing of the grid event. And I'm not going to just pick on the firing of the grid event, but that will serve as an example of how some of these darker forces kind of coerce people into things that sound really great, sound very pure, very altruistic, very wonderful. I mean, what's not to admire and love about everyone getting together at the same time and focusing all their love and energy into the planet and into the high, you know, and into developing the higher realms? That is so incredibly altruistic and sounds like a really good thing, but the part that can not be a good thing is quite often the dark forces are the ones that set these things up. And then what happens when people are doing this group meditation is that left, it forms a huge vortex, which is a huge opening that goes both ways. And everyone is very altruistic and very sincere at the moment and very open, totally open. And the dark forces, or the negative energies, or whatever we're going to call them, but doesn't quite sound so awful, know how to use and how to manipulate these conditions to come in and implant or send in energies to everyone that is sort of a hindrance to your growth. I mean, how many of you feel crappy since July 17th? How many of you are tired and kind of ill-feeling and kind of dizzy and kind of disoriented and not really sure if you can make it through the day without three naps and kind of have a foggy brain thought or feel nauseated or have headaches that you didn't have before? This is what happens or what can happen. The best thing to do, and what's more beneficial to you and to a person, I'm not saying, I'm using the editorial you, we're all the you, is to just spontaneously project love into, if you want to call it the grid, or into the earth, or into the ethers, you know. You don't need somebody to send you an email giving you a time and a date to do this. You can do it anytime you want, and it's more sincere, and you're not creating a come-and-get-me sign on your forehead like these group events do. And I know this is very controversial, and I know a lot of people are going to think I'm crazy, and what can be wrong with what we did. And there's nothing wrong with it. It's just discernment and vigilance are really needed for these type of events. I've been in communication with ascended masters and angels since I was a little girl. I mean, my first thoughts at age 3, my first remembrances of my life were with the masters and the angels on this dimension. And I won't tell you how old I am, but I'm kind of up there age-wise. And I have never, ever, in all of the times in my entire life, ever been told by one of the masters or the angels to do something at a certain time, at a certain moment, and to line up a bunch of people and to get all this type of stuff going. The type of information that I've always gotten is to be an individual, to be your own master, to set your own course of and receive your own information and not follow the pack. If 20,000 people say it's a good thing and it's not, it's still not, you know? And I'm sure most people have seen the Matrix movies. They're disguised as science fiction or fantasy, but the Matrix is so true as to what's really going on this planet. And the ones that control the Matrix, you know, are certainly smart enough to say, hey, let's all go to the light. Hey, let's all meditate. Hey, let's all do this. But it's still a trap. And part of the trap that has been created in a lot of people's minds right now is the love, light, and peace thoughts that everything is of the light, everything is wonderful, everything is groovy, and you know, to just follow your bliss and to ignore the dark side and it'll go away, and don't pay attention to what the government's doing because you don't want to buy into it, and all of this these thoughts of non-action and non-discernment and just blissfully creating your own reality in your mind as to what you want it to be. There is truth in that to an extent, but it's hope for the best and be prepared for the worst is a better rule of thumb. You know, and hold that vision of what you want the world to be in your heart and see it as the future. But at the same time, guard your back, guard your country, guard what's going on. The government, which most of us know is not our friend, perpetuates or helps perpetuate this feeling within the powerful people, those that are awake and on a spiritual path, goes to great lengths to create those thought forms in us that, oh, if we just pray and we just meditate and ignore the man behind the curtain, that the man behind the curtain will disappear. I'm referring to the Wizard of Oz, of course. And that's not true. By ignoring what's going on, we allow it to be, and we allow it to perpetuate. So we really need to, individually, and which then becomes collectively, take action and take our country back, take our world back. You know, we need to be proactive and to write letters to Congress and senators and representatives, and not just press a little email button and to sign a petition. Those are very seldom looked at. You need to get out a piece of paper and a pen and write something, a handwritten letter mailed with a stamp to your representatives carries about 1,000 points more than one email petition. It will have much more weight. And, you know, I'm not asking people to get mad or to really fight. We need to keep peace in our heart and to keep calm and cool about it and not let the emotions affect us, but we do need to do something. And the time is getting short. This is 2007. We only have 5 years or less to really turn this planet around and to create the heaven on earth that we all want. Now, the way things are created is through individuals. You know, we are all a piece of God. If we want God to turn the world around and to create heaven, who do you think is going to do that? Who do you think God is? God is you. And God can only work through us. The changes on any dimension can only take place by those that inhabit that dimension. And that's why all of us that know that we're light workers, that know that we came here for a mission, and we came here to do something and to change the world, that is why we are here, to change the world. And we need to change the world by thought, action, and deed, not just putting the blinders on and saying, oh, wow, everything is so wonderful. So that's my little tirade for the moment. But also, too, it's very important for all of us to really keep ourselves clear of negative energies and attachments, of courting from others and from emotions and all. And the violet flame is the best way to do that. We'll do a violet flame meditation and, you know, towards the end of this. And also, another thing that I'm starting to kind of see, unfortunately, is a lack of integrity of spiritual people towards others. And this is kind of a, I don't know why some people are falling into this, to where they think, oh well, everything's of the light, I can do anything that I want, and they're not treating others with the respect and the old-fashioned values of consideration and integrity and honesty that was prevalent. Now, I've been seeing this with a lot of different people recently, and I mean basically in about the past couple of months. I don't know where it's coming from, to be honest. I mean, I don't know what the higher reasons for it are, but it's something that we all kind of need to check ourselves and make sure that we are not going to fall into that pattern. And if you feel that, if you kind of examine yourself and see that, oh, gee, you know, I did wait 4 months to pay that bill that I owed somebody and never even told them why I wasn't paying them, you know, pay the bill. Communicate with each other. Tell the person, you know, why you're not doing this. And, you know, it's usually for just not a bad reason, just maybe procrastination or forgetfulness or something. But, you know, that's part of really being a higher type of being, or being the kind of world that we want to create, is to really look at how we are dealing in our world and how we're dealing with other people, which are really ourselves. You know, when you yell and scream at the guy on the freeway, you're really yelling and screaming at yourself. I realized that quite a few years ago, and even if someone, you know, cuts me off, and in the old days I would have, you know, screamed or made a gesture, I can't do it anymore because I go, oops, I'm just doing it to myself. So keeping that thought in foremost, you know, that everything that you do to yourself, and to really create your behavior to be that which you want others to do to you. It's the good old golden rule. There's a reason why the golden rule is entwined in every religion and every philosophy and group since the beginning of time, because it is very, very important and very, I mean, if you were only going to follow one thing, the golden rule would get you enlightened and would get you ascended more than probably any other thing. Because then you are honoring yourself and loving yourself, and you are loving others as well, and you are honoring and loving that spark of God in you and the spark of God that's in everyone. And what you focus on, we all know, is what magnifies. So by just becoming the person that you want everyone else to be, if we're all doing that collectively, we are creating heaven on earth. We are creating the world that we want. So let me see what else I have written down. I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the energies and some of the feelings that are happening now that are genuine ascension symptoms, as opposed to the kind of malaise of having negative energies around you. The sleepiness, there's so much, so many people are feeling very sleepy. There's a difference between the negative draining type of tiredness that comes from having dense energies around you, but it's subtle. I don't know how to really distinguish it to you people. verbally, but it's kind of something you feel. One is being tired by being drained and kind of sucked dry and empty. Those are more the negative feelings. And then there's the sleepiness that comes from when you're entering into a higher frequency or a higher vibration. It's something that a lot of people are experiencing now because their vibrations are being raised. We're having a lot of really positive energy and high frequency energy bombarding the earth now. And it gives you an uplift, happy kind of sleepiness. You're still tired and you still have a hard time focusing, but it's more of a dreamy, blissful kind of sleepiness, as opposed to the I'm so tired I can't even walk to the bed to go to sleep kind of tired. And that's something to look for. It's like a spaciness and a giddiness and a happiness. It's kind of like a Walt Disney sleepy kind of feeling, you know. And that's something that you know means that you're going into the higher dimensions. And it's our body needing that extra rest and that extra sleep to absorb and to change into the new frequency. You know, our minds and our emotions can go into the higher realms much easier and with greater ease and comfort than our physical bodies can. Our physical bodies are created to be third dimensional vehicles, and they are transmuting and adapting and changing and becoming a different type of vehicle. And if you imagine each and every, you've got bajillion cells in your body, each and every one of those cells has to go through a great transformation. And it has to go from a carbon-based third dimensional energy and substance into a crystalline silicon-based energy and matter. And it's a tremendous task, and it's one that our bodies do have the intelligence to do. It's sort of the other 90% of the brain knows what to do and how to do it. The part that we don't, you know, use normally, that we're using now. But it's hard. It's like each cell has, it's the equivalent of maybe running a couple of marathons a day and being a high jumper, and all kinds of energy and strength is needed to do this. And it causes some discomfort sometimes. You'll have little random aches and pains here and there that you never had before that all come on very rapidly and disappear just as rapidly a few days later or a week later. You feel parts of your body, like all of a sudden your left knee is just in tremendous distress, and there was no third dimensional reason for that to be. You didn't bang it anywhere, you didn't twist it. It's just all of a sudden, what's going on with my knee? And 3 or 4 days later, your knee is fine. In fact, it feels better than it ever did before. And then you'll maybe feel a discomfort somewhere else, you know, your left earlobe or some other part of your body. Just know that this is your body transforming and literally becoming spiritualized. We're spiritualizing matter, and it's something that we really don't have patterns for. This is happening for the first time in the way that it is happening ever on this planet. And there's no textbooks about it. There's not too, there's people that have gone through this before, of course, like Saint Germain and Jesus and El Morya and thousands of ascended masters that we don't know by name. But they're still, compared to the rest of the population, just a drop in the bucket. So we're doing this collectively now without a manual, without a guidebook, without an account of how people did this before and what they experienced. So one thing that I find that's really helpful is to, if you have friends that are on a spiritual path that are experiencing these things, or you suspect might be experiencing them, it's great to talk about it, and it's great to ask your friends, or if you go to a meditation group, just say, hey, are any of you feeling this or that? Just for me, whenever I go through stuff, just knowing that other people are experiencing it too, kind of relaxes my brain, my third dimensional brain, from the worry and the concern and the, gee, am I all right? Should I go to a doctor? What's going on? Why do I feel this way? Oh, I'm getting old. Oh, I'm falling apart. All that mind chatter and concern. Once I know, oh gosh, I talked to 10 people today and all 10 of them are feeling the same way, then I go, oh, okay, this is great. This is just growth symptoms and it's just, you know, the way it is. And I feel better about it and I feel comforted by it and not so isolated. So, in fact, if anyone wants to call and discuss something that they're experiencing, or if they're having the same type of feelings or something different, you know, this would be a great time. The phone number is 877-876-5227 in the United States and 888-815-9756 from Canada. We've got about 19 minutes left in the show. And so if you want to call, it'd be great. And the Violet Flame meditation takes about 5 minutes. So we've got about 10 minutes or so before we do that. But, okay, what else can I talk about for another 10 minutes? You people should call me. You know, you call me at home during the day and want to talk for 3 hours. This is a great time to call and let everyone else enjoy the conversation and the information. I work much better if someone asks me a question. Because the way I'm kind of programmed as an individual is, if someone asks me a question and I, as my third dimensional self, doesn't know the answer, that answer pops in and I just kind of spontaneously channel it. And I love it when that happens because I get to learn too. And I don't know why, well, I guess I just channel things, I don't know, but I mean, this has happened throughout my whole life. People can ask me not only spiritual things, but trivial things, you know, not trivial, but trivia, and think about, gee, how does that work, or why do you think that is, on anything, electricity, plumbing, you know, whatever, things that I don't know as a personality, and boom, I just spout it out, you know, so. That's why I really like people to call, because it brings out more of me and brings out things that I don't even know that I know. Whereas when I'm just, you know, this radio show is done by me speaking into a phone, and to just sit here and talk into space for an hour and not know who's listening, what they're thinking, what's on their mind, it's really difficult. I mean, try it someday. Just pick up a phone and call the time so that you're not getting a real person feeding back to you. And try talking in the phone for 55 minutes straight, and you'll see what you'll see how difficult it really is. So those are two of the reasons why I want people to call, to bring out more information and to make it not quite so hard for me to do this show. So let's do the Violet Flame Meditation. And this one, I don't know if I've done this on the show or not. I know I do it quite a bit in sessions. This is a very easy, four-step, simple... Oh, hello.
Troika?
Yes?
Hi, you were asking for people to call in?
Thank you. I can barely hear you.
Okay, because I can barely hear you. Is this better?
A little bit.
Okay, gosh. Bad connection maybe, huh? I'm in California.
Who is this?
My name is Adrian.
Oh, Adrian.
And I have a question about Saint Germain.
Would that okay.
Be okay.
My favorite subject.
I'm sorry, what?
I said my favorite subject.
Yeah, mine too. and I found Saint Germain in the 80s in her name is Pearl Doris.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to go with a group of people to her home.
I knew Pearl.
Did you know her?
I knew Pearl. I was with her when she died.
Oh, well, she was wonderful.
She
and I
was.
Loved her, you know, her reading room where she would bring you in with all of her books and stuff and talk to people.
When I knew her, she was living in Wairika.
Oh.
And it was, you know, towards the end of her life.
Oh.
And so I don't know about the room with all the books. And that's when she was in Mount Shasta.
Yeah,
right?
She was up in Mount Shasta.
Yeah.
And this picture of the fellow was on the wall, and he kept drawing me to him, and it was like, okay, who are you? and I asked her, and she said, that's Saint Germain, and
mm-hmm.
I bought the Green Books that day,
mm-hmm.
By Godfrey Ray King. But my question is, because I'm just curious, is Saint Germain in incarnation at this time, or is he planning to come, you know, help the situation, like you were talking a lot about the government tonight? And,
uh-huh. Well,
what's going on with that?
Well, I was sworn to secrecy for a long time about him coming into incarnation, but recently he's let it slip to a few other people, and they've started making it public knowledge.
Okay.
So now I can tell you what I know about that. Is yes, right now he is not incarnated. On a full-time basis, you know, he just kind of pops in here and there when he wants to, like he always has done. There are a few people on the planet that are living in full-time 3D bodies that are not fully him, but carry a little bit of his energy, a little fragment of him, that he uses them as his, you know, assistance to create certain things that he once created on the planet. And each one of them has a very different, specific mission. So it's not like they're all doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're doing very specialized aspects of his work. I've met four of them so far.
Mm.
And but as for him coming into being here, he is planning on doing that, and the only thing that is stopping him from doing it now is us.
Okay.
Or the, you know, the planet. When it's not that he can't do it, but it's still so dense here that he can't stay here very long without succumbing to the density. You know, it's like us. If all of a sudden we're thrown into an environment that is totally hostile and negative, it gets harder and harder to hold the higher energies and to hold the light.
Exactly.
And so that's what he keeps telling me, is that he will take form as soon as the time is right, as soon as the energies will allow him to do that.
Is there anything that...
And he's not going to be born as a baby.
Right.
And he's not going to be a walk-in. He will coalesce his own body,
mm-hmm.
and just and just be grown up.
Yeah, just
he's
come
done
back.
That in most of his lifetimes anyway.
Right. Now, is there anything that we all can do? You know, the I Am folks out here that to help bring about less discourse.
Yes, just not only do we need to violet flame ourselves every day, but violet flame the planet and violet flame conditions. Even if I'm driving down the street and I see a car accident, I immediately just violet flame that car accident. If you discord around you, little minor arguments in the supermarket, just anything and everything that's less than divine perfection, just violet flame it,
Yeah.
And holding the really positive thoughts and the vision. It's something that is going to happen, but the more action that we take, the more proactive we are in helping it to come along, the sooner it will all change and the sooner he'll be able to come.
Yeah. Do you see it happening while, in our lifetimes? Or?
Oh, yes. Yeah, he's talking about the next 5 to 6 years.
Okay, so what do you think about this 2012 stuff?
Well, he's hoping to be able to be here actually before that.
I mean, does he talk about a large event happening in that year?
It's not so much that it's a large event. I mean, it's happening already. 2012 is kind of a metaphor and kind of a focal point.
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessarily going to happen in the blink of an eye, although it can, the change. But it's more something that just keeps getting closer and closer and closer. And, of course, as we get closer and closer to it, the negative forces get stronger and stronger and fight harder and harder.
Mm.
And that's why right now there's just so much junk going on. But what I said about taking action not against the government, but encouraging the government to really be of the people and by the people,
mm-hmm.
and for the people.
Right.
Whereas now it's all corporations and greed.
Mm-hmm.
By us doing that, by us really making a physical, conscious action towards it, will really help change those energies. Because it really, by doing an action, you can have all the intent you want in the world and all the, remember that expression, the road to hell is paved with good intention?
Exactly.
We can have all that good intention, but if we don't do something with it, and we don't make an action, it's just that. It's just an intention that doesn't manifest.
Hmm.
So by all of a sudden, if everybody just starts flooding all of our governmental officials with demands like, hey, enough is enough, let's get with the program, and if you don't start voting, for the good of the people, you're not going to be reelected.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to really have a revolution, hopefully a peaceful revolution.
Really,
By the show of our will and our strength. And once the government knows that, these people really are serious, they're really waking up and they're putting down the remote control and the six-pack and they're, marching on the streets and they're writing letters and they're really doing something, they know the jig is up and that they have to do, they have to change.
Yeah, yeah.
So we need to do that, and the faster and the sooner we do it, the quicker things will change.
Yeah, yeah, totally. I agree with you. And who we bring into office in 2008 is going to be so important.
Mm-hmm.
It's really a monumental time, and it's, it can't just be this guy or that guy. It's got to be a real special individual.
Well, I don't know if you know who Dennis Kucinich is, but he certainly is the one.
I don't. Who is it?
Oh, he's a congressman or a U.S. representative or something. He's from Ohio. Mm-hmm. And he's been in office for quite a few years. He's the one that started the impeach Cheney bill,
oh.
RH333. And he ran for president last time too.
Okay.
And the media and everybody just made fun of him and put him down and wouldn't give him any kind of press because he's about 5'3", maybe 5'4", if he really stretches. He's got Spock ears.
Oh.
He looks like a little pixie, you know, gnome.
Mm-hmm.
He's a vegan. He's totally connected with spirit and a light worker, and he's very charismatic when you hear him.
Mm-hmm.
And you really feel his heart. And when he gives his talk about how he wants the United States to be or what he would like to implement as president, he's talking about the golden age and he's talking about ascension. And he's really incredible. What I'm afraid of on a third dimensional level is that people can't see, aren't at a level yet where they can see his purity and see beyond the fact that he doesn't look and act like what we think a president should be.
Yeah, isn't that
a shame? Of course, the president, what people have an image of the president,
mm-hmm.
is what's gotten us into so much trouble
anyway.
Exactly. You know, a president doesn't have to be 6'2" and good looking. And
I mean, look at Lincoln, come on.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
goofy pretty, looking guy.
You know, and Dennis is cute, you know.
Yeah.
Lincoln was homely, but
yeah.
Dennis is very cute, you know. But so it's you know, he's the perfect person.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if people are going to see that.
Yeah.
Know?
Well, I'll keep my ears open for that. Well, listen, maybe is it about time for the meditation?
Oh, yeah, I've got 8 minutes. Oh, no. If I look at my computer, I've got 8 minutes. If I look at my little countdown time, I've got 3.
Uh-oh.
So let me do it. Thank you so much for calling.
Okay, it was great to talk with you.
Yeah.
And welcome back.
Thank you, and call again.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, let's do the Violet Flame Meditation. So there's 4 steps to it. I'll explain the 4 steps real quick, and then I will do suggested words that St. Germain always says, use your own words. Don't worry about what you're saying. Say it from the heart, and it's more important to feel the emotion and to really make it your own than to memorize pretty words that somebody else wrote. So the first step is that you bring the violet flame into your body. You can visualize it coming through your crown chakra if you want, or coming up through your feet, or just coming in from everywhere. But that's the first step, is to bring the violet flame into your entire body so that your whole skin is filled with, you know, everything inside your skin. Then you bring the violet flame out through your heart chakra to surround your entire body while it's still in there. So you're now sitting in a huge egg. You know, what you're doing when you do that is you're bringing the violet flame into your emotional body, your mental body, and your spiritual body, as well as your physical body. Then you ask the violet flame to transmute whatever you want to transmute. Some people like to do a laundry list, you know, please transmute all negative karma, please transmute, you know, anger, and please transmute, you know, poverty consciousness, or blah, 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 blah. I have a real short firm thing that covers everything, and that's transmute everything, all and everything that is blocking my ascension. You know, that covers everything in one sentence. Then after you transmute, after the violet flame transmutes things, you basically have little holes in you like Swiss cheese. And you need to fill those holes or fill yourself with the energy that you want filled. Otherwise, you're just wide open and anything can jump in, you know. So you can turn it into anything. My Violet Flame 101 is turning things into the golden light of the Christ consciousness, because that's where we're all going ultimately, so might as well bring it in. And you just imagine metallic golden light, like liquid gold, just coming into your body. So now that I explained the steps, I'll do some words that will support that. Okay, so everyone kind of take a deep breath and just get really centered and just think of those, visualize those steps as I do this. And you can ask the deity of your choice to help you. I've got a few here that are kind of general and cover everything. Okay. Mighty I Am Presence, beloved God, my heavenly source, please make manifest in me now the sacred violet flame of transmutation. Bring the violet flame into every cell, molecule, and atom of my body, filling me totally and completely. Blessed violet flame, blaze into my heart and expand out and around all of my bodies, physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual, surrounding my entire being with your divine grace, love, mercy, and forgiveness. Transmute all karma, negative thoughts, actions, deeds, and energy that I have ever created at any time, in all dimensions, on all levels, in all bodies, through all time and space, past, present, and future, for all eternity. Transmute anything and everything that stands in my way of embodying the ascended Christ being that I am. Beloved violet flame, turn all that has been transmuted into the golden light of God, the Christ consciousness, the light of God that never fails. Send this golden light to me now, filling and surrounding my entire body with its divine radiance, raising my vibration and frequency to the highest level possible for me at this time. So be it, and so it is. Thank you, God. Amen. And I'm out of time, so I'll see you all next week. Thank you. Violet blessings. Bye-bye. This land.